ಅವಧೂತಂ ಹರಿಜನ ಚರಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗನ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಂ ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೈನ ಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ಸಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೇ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರೇ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮೇ ಗೌರೇ ಕೃಷೇ ನಮಃ ರೋಮಾಂಚ ಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಸೀತಾನಾಂ ಭಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೀನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ದೂರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಕಾರಿಣೇ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸವಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When would Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada was established within this material world, the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet. Where Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, the peace. ರಜಸ್ತಮೋಭ್ಯಮಾಕ್ಷಿಪ್ತಂ ವಿಮೂಢಂ ಮನ ಆತ್ಮನಃ ಯಚ್ಚಿದ್ಧಾರಣಯಾ ಧೀರೋ ಹಂತೀಯ ತತ್ಕೃತಂ ಮನಂ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂ ಸಂದಾರ್ಮಮಾನಾಯಾಂ ಯೋಗಿನೋ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಲಕ್ಷಣಃ ಆಶು ಸಂಪದ್ಯತೆ ಯೋಗ ಆಶ್ರಯಂ ಭದ್ರಮೀಕ್ಷ ಈಕ್ಷತಃ ಸೊ ದೀಸ್ ಟು ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಆನ್ ತ್ರೀ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ we can say as follows. The first is the effects of the material modes of nature on the living entities, that's all of us. Second is the fact that there is always a difference between the impersonalist, the pantheist, and the devotee. And third, how the service attitude finally connects one from the impersonal attraction or non-attraction of the Lord to the personal attraction of the Lord. So these three points are very nicely covered by Prabhupada in what would otherwise become a very dry topic in the hands of anyone else. But Prabhupada has given us so much realization on this point. The starting point for us to understand is 14:26 of Bhagavad Gita. Mam sayo avyabhi sarena Bhakti Yogena Sevate. So this point is very important, because in the chapter entitled Material Modes of Nature, in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna nicely tells us that only by engaging in the full devotional service to the Lord, which is unfailing in all circumstances, which means it must be unmotivated and it must be uninterrupted, and it cannot fail, meaning that we must be constant. In such a mood only, Sa Gunan Samadittetan Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Only in such circumstances can one transcend the modes of the material nature and come to the level of Brahman. So we understand from this point, as is stated in the pages of Bhagavatam and specifically in this verse, that the modes of material nature, specifically passion and ignorance, they have the habit, it is their nature, to agitate and bewilder us. That is the nature of passion and ignorance. And the basis of coming out of this is actually by devotional service. That much is very clear. The second point in 1426 that we must understand is that only when we come out of the material modes of nature can we become established on the platform of Brahman realization. And this point also is stated immediately after 1426. It is in 1427. And Krishna says very nicely that I am the basis of this impersonal Brahman. He says that I am immortal. This impersonal Brahman is immortal. It is imperishable. It is eternal. And it is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So, we cannot take lightly Brahman realization. The tendency sometimes in immature devotional service is to deride Brahman realization. But Krishna is very clear that Brahman realization has a place in creation. Now, having said that, the effect of the modes of material nature, Prabhupada writes here, is unfortunate for the living entities. Why? Because it agitates and bewilders us. And we know for ourselves what a big problem it is in this world, especially when we perform the devotional service, to remain unagitated and to remain unbewildered. Very, very difficult. Is it not true that even as we practice devotional service, sometimes material events, sometimes even when we relate with devotees, it can cause us agitation. It can cause us to become bewildered. When that happens, we should understand that we are still very far away from coming out of the modes of material nature. What to speak of passion and ignorance? Goodness is considered very high already, because from goodness, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the platform of bhakti yoga can actually begin. Because from there, the springboard to moving to Vishuddha Sattva, which is the platform of pure goodness, that platform can only be stepped onto if one has a semblance of goodness in his heart. So if we are agitated and bewildered, what to speak of the mode of goodness? Then what to speak of Brahman realization and what to speak of devotional service? It becomes very difficult. But the point here is, Prabhupada also goes one step further to tell us, if we are agitated and bewildered in our daily life, then the reason or the symptom why and how the material modes of nature come, the symptom by which you can tell whether you are bewildered or agitated, will be when there is attraction for women and wealth. Wherever there is the affection in our hearts for women or men and for wealth, wherever there is this possibility of lust being in our heart, then it becomes very difficult. I think last week, very nicely, Nam Sankirtan Prabhu told us very nicely this point of the attitude of lust. And before that, Rajesh Prabhu also very elaborately explained the point about the mind. So there is nothing much to be said there. The only thing we can understand is that Krishna makes it very clear to Arjuna when he asks him that very important question, what is it in this material world that compels the living entity, despite the fact that he wants to perform good things, despite the fact that he doesn't want to perform the sinful things, what is it that pushes him to do the sinful activity? It is very true that sometimes out of the force of habit, we try so much in our devotional service to avoid those material things which are in the modes of passion and ignorance. But sometimes we slip. And when we ask ourselves, why is it that in our heart we really did not want to do it, but still, like a zombie, you know, we just stand up and we walk to the cinema. We stand up and we do something. And after that we feel guilty, midway we feel guilty, start of the movie we feel guilty, end of the movie we feel guilty, but next week we are back at it again. What is it that compels us to do that? So Krishna says, it is actually kama esha, krodha esha. And he says very nicely, raja guna samad bhavaha, mahashano mahapatma. This is the greatest of all sins. And vidhi enam iha vairinam. He says that it is only lust that is the greatest enemy of this material world. And lust is actually born out of the context of the material mode of passion. And once the material mode of passion comes in, it is later transformed into wrath, which is anger, which then degrades us further into the mode of ignorance. So you can see very clearly that Krishna is warning us that the material modes of nature are very powerful. So what is the solution then, Prabhus and Mataji? The solution to these very difficult modes to transcend is again stated in this verse and in the next verse. It is constant remembrance of Lord Vishnu. in relation to Lord Vishnu. Relation means to be related. Related means there must be some connection. And the connection can only come on the basis of remembrance. And the remembrance has to be constant. If it is jerky from time to time, then to the extent that we are remembering Krishna, we are away from the material modes. But to the point that we forget Krishna, at that point of time the material modes will capture us. So the more constant we are, the further away is this most sinful devouring enemy of the world, which comes in the form of ignorance and passion. Now to understand how we can remember Krishna, the next point that Prabhupada discusses here is what feature we must remember Krishna in. And Prabhupada uses a very interesting and very strange way of explaining it. To the materialist it appears strange. Even to me first I was wondering why Prabhupada is saying this. He says the best way to remember Krishna is in the feature which is considered potential impersonal feature. Prabhupada doesn't say impersonal feature, he says potential impersonal feature. Now why is Prabhupada saying this? Prabhupada is saying this because even the impersonalist, if he starts to remember Krishna, he has the potency and the potential to actually come to the platform of devotional service. This is an important point we must remember. No one is outside the purview of bhakti. No one can say that his situation is hopeless in this material world. And to understand this point, Prabhupada also gives in the pages of Bhagavatam that even though the impersonalist can be influenced by the material modes of ignorance and passion, one thing we must understand, once he takes to the devotional service, that point of passion and ignorance can be actually purified. You take the example, very nice practical example of the Sanat Kumaras. The Sanat Kumaras were great impersonalists. They were exalted devotees, transcendentalists. Yet we understand that in 3.15.43 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the moment they started smelling the beautiful aroma of the Tulsi leaves which were offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, and at that point of time they had not even taken darshan of the Lord yet, they had just smelled the aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord, what happened to their hearts? Immediately their hearts, Prabhupada and Bhagavatam writes, became purified. And it became pacified. That's the other word that is used in the word, in the verse. Their heart and their disposition became pacified. So if we are agitated in this material world, then the opposite of agitation and bewilderment is to become pacified. And how to become pacified is given nicely in the pages of Bhagavatam. That the moment you smell the aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord, you will become pacified. What is that verse in Srimad Bhagavatam? 3.96 of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that verse? He is skipping me. That is the verse that is so wonderful. Swam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hi Saroja. That's 3.9.11. What is the verse before that? 3.96, Prabhuji. If you can help us. I like Prabhupada Shloka. Is it there, Prabhuji? 3.95? And the verse starts? Ye tu tvadiya charanam chagandam jigrante karna vivaresu divatanitam bhaktya grahita charana paraya satesham anapai. So 396, 395 is the important verse to understand in conjunction with the impersonalist difficulties. The impersonalist has difficulty in trying to conceptualize the Lord. But this verse, Yetu Twadiya Charanam Bhujakosha Gandam, tells us that the moment you smell the lotus feet of the Lord, Gandam, by using the sense of smell, what happens to you? Just by smelling the lotus feet of the Lord, which is carried in the air by this wonderful smriti, by the wonderful sruti, which is the air of Vedic sound, what happens? Actually, that purifies us in such a way that one can actually begin to see Krishna. One can see Krishna just by smelling his lotus feet. This is how wonderful it is. Why? Because Krishna alone can lay claim to being the absolute truth. So if today we are to smell the aroma of anything which is offered to Krishna, then Krishna guarantees us that we will be able to see him in our hearts. Or just by seeing Rukmini Dwarkadish, if we have the eyes of love, then we can really see Krishna. And if we can see Krishna, then what happens to us? Then the effect is, the agitation of the material modes of nature will not be there. And just like the Sanat Kumaras became very pacified, our hearts and our minds, which is very difficult to become pacified, will somehow rest. It will rest in peace. And in that way, the material modes of nature die within us. So this point is an important point for us to note. The impersonalists, they try very hard to strive to become one with Krishna. But Prabhupada writes that the transcendental, in trying to feel transcendental pleasure in trying to become one with Krishna, the moment they take up devotional service, what happens to them? They become defeated. Prabhupada uses the word, they become defeated by what? The transcendental feature of the Lord. This is such a wonderful point. Isn't it true what, is it Rupa Goswami, the father of devotional service, who chants, you know? He says, Meram Bangitraya Parichitam. Then he says that for one who sees Krishna, there is this wonderful boy, and he is actually in such a situation where he's just in this very wonderful three-banded position. And in the three-banded position, he has another wonderful feature. Sachi Vrishti Na Drishti. He is giving us the sideway long glance. So when Krishna gives us the sideway long glance, then he has this wonderful potency to attract us. This is the transcendental feature of the Lord. Then Rupa Goswami goes on to say that Vamsi Nyakta Adaram Kilashayam Ujvalam Chandrakenaha Govindam Matyam Hari Tanumitaha Keshi Tirtha Upasante Ma Prakshita Stavayadi Sake Asti Bandhu Sange Asti Rangaha. Rupa Goswami is warning us that if you look at this wonderful transcendental feature of the Lord, who is standing by the shores of the Keshi Ghat, who is looking very illustrious and very beautiful in the moon, whose features are so wonderful that when this beautiful flute of his is put on his lips, which are blossoming, and when you see him in his sideways glance, in his three-banded form, this boy who is known as Govinda is so wonderfully captivating that please you do one thing. You please don't look at him. Because the moment you look at him, my friend, he is advising you in a very personal way. My friend, he says, my friend, you do one thing. If you look at this person, then what will happen? Because the moment you look at him, then all your attraction to family, to society, to friendship in this society will be completely taken away from you. So this is a terrifying thing for the materialist. It is an unheard of thing for the impersonalist until he is touched by the transcendental feature of the Lord. So this transcendental feature of the Lord is very, very powerful. And the moment we take to this transcendental process, the impersonalist decides, why to become one with the Lord? Better to become one with service to the Lord. When you become one with service to the Lord, then what happens? Then you can see the Lord. The Lord, in order to see himself, what does he need? He needs a mirror. Or he needs the description of the devotees in order for him to remember how he looks. But Prabhupada says that if you were to stand away from the Lord and look at him, then how much more wonderful it is to look at someone who is transcendental. If you look at yourself, there is nothing transcendental about you. But if you look at the Lord, then you become very pacified. That is why then the impersonalist decides, why one to become one with something which is more beautiful to look at? Isn't it? It is commonsensical. So then the impersonalist becomes very happy. And the result of one who is not agitated and who is pacified in devotional service is seen when Sanat Kumaras initially cursed Jai and Vijay. But when the personal transcendental form of the Lord appeared before them, they became so pacified that they themselves put up their hands and said, we are also in the wrong. If you want to give us any punishment, you give it to us. Because we have actually cursed faultless persons. So this change of heart, so to speak, the melting of the heart can only come when one is attracted to the Bhagavan feature of the Lord. It cannot come when one is an impersonalist. The word impersonal itself means that you are impersonal with someone. But if you are close with someone, then what is the word we use? We use the word personal. When you know, in this age of email, for example, what is so difficult about picking up the phone and say, Prabhuji, I was wondering if we can do this, do this, do that. Instead of sitting down at the email and say, Haribo Prabhuji, PAMHOAGDPAO or whatever that is, or even writing all this down and saying, please do this, please do that, thank you very much, your servant. Isn't it much better to pick up the phone and say, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances of Lord Shri Prabhupada. So, Kali Yuga is meant for impersonalism. It is so nicely impersonal that in the age of emails and internet, we forget to pick up the phone. In those days, we could meet each other at least. Then the phone was an impersonal device because we could not see each other. Today, phone is very personal because email has become impersonal. So we don't know how we are degrading. And then we say that we are devotees. But when you read the emails, sometimes our sentence may be too short. Sometimes sentence may be harsh because we are in a rush. And then we may feel it. Why is he writing such a heavy email? Or why is his email sounding so cold? Why? Because by heart, in heart, you are all personal by nature. You all get hurt easily. We are all sensitive because we are personal. When we are put in an artificial surrounding of impersonalism, how to become pacified? We won't become pacified. So that is why this personal dealing and loving relationship is the cornerstone of the devotional service. But Prabhupada writes here that to become uneducated, at least the impersonalist is starting on the road towards that. But for the impersonalist to become a personalist, there is one process that is very important. And that process is known as pantheism. Prabhupada uses the word pantheism a few times in Bhagavatam. He uses it a few times in Bhagavatam. But pantheism simply means, it's a very sophisticated sounding word, but it simply means that a person who tries to see the presence of God everywhere is known as a pantheist. Right? He's not atheistic, but pan means, like when you say pan-Asian, it means all the countries put together in Asia. So he's trying to be very pan about God, meaning he's trying to see, oh, this personality is God, that personality is God, this devata is God, that celestial being is God, everything is God. So if God is everything, why we need to restrict God? He's everywhere. If he's everywhere, why worship him in the form of a deity? Not necessary. Why are you limiting him in the form of a deity? You see the inherent problem of pantheism? Immediately becomes obvious. But Prabhupada writes here that it is not that pantheism is wrong, but the problem with pantheism Prabhupada speaks about in many of his lectures is this. He gives two examples. The first example he gives is gold. Gold, for example, right? When you go and get gold from a mine, for example, a gold mine, then from gold you can make so many things. Earrings you can make out of gold, necklace you can make out of gold, rings you can make out of gold, so many ornaments you can make out of gold. Gold plates, gold spoon, everything you can do. But at the end of the day, all these items that you make, in order for you to describe them properly, you must put the word gold in front, isn't it? If you say it is a earring, nobody thinks there's value to it. You say, Prabhu, take care of my gold earring. What happens to you? Oh, this is gold earring, I better take care of it. This is how we talk, isn't it? If we talk about our watch, it's just a watch. Prabhu, just hold my gold watch for a while. Immediately we think, oh, this is of some value. So, the point is the pantheist looks around. He thinks God is everywhere. So he puts the point that yes, God is everywhere. He's not just seeing that God is impersonal, nothing, nowhere. He's taken one step forward by seeing that God is everywhere. But the problem Prabhupada writes is, you cannot equate a gold earring with the gold which is coming out as pure solid form from the mine. Gold is gold. You cannot say gold earring is gold. No. If you go to the shop and say I want to buy gold, he won't give you earrings. He will give you gold bars because there is gold. So when the pantheist mixes up Krishna, the origin, with everything else and also having the same potency as Krishna, he is in the wrong line. And in that way, he misses the point of coming out of the material modes of nature. He can still become agitated. He can still become bewildered. But he is moving away from impersonal conception. The second point Prabhupada gives is also nice. He says iron, for example. We all know the example of iron set in fire. When you set iron in fire, you put iron in fire for a while, what happens to it? It assumes the quality of fire after a while, isn't it? And once there is the quality of fire, then what happens, Prabhu and Mataji? Then immediately at that point of time, there is no quality of iron anymore. You just take the iron that was hot and you put it in front of you and burn something, it is as good as fire. As good as fire. But does it mean the iron has become fire? No. The origin of the iron was fire. So in the same way, if all our activities are catered towards or dovetailed in the service of the Lord, then just like the iron which has assumed the quality of fire, we will also assume the quality of fortified nature. We will not be in the modes of nature. Then our activities will become spiritual. Even though they may appear to be material, they will be actually on the spiritual platform. The only difference is the change of consciousness. And consciousness can only come about when you move away from seeing Krishna as impersonal to seeing Krishna as everywhere, and finally to attributing everything as coming from one single source, and that is Krishna. The one who comes to that stage of consciousness, he is considered coming towards devotional service. If not, we will still be at the point where we will have this difficulty of moving in and out of the material modes of nature. It becomes very difficult for us. So this point we must remember. And the best way to remember pantheism and what Prabhupada speaks about pantheism is also nicely stated in the pages of Bhagavatam. And it is in a very famous verse in the first canto, fifth chapter. First canto, fifth chapter. And I think it is 1514 or 1515. It is in one of those, I think. But anyway, the point for us to understand is that at that point in the fifth chapter, Vyas Bhagwan was, as Prabhuji had stated yesterday, Vyas Bhagwan was at a point when he was feeling a little bit dissatisfied. He was not so contented. He had compiled all the scriptures and everything together. But still, he was feeling something is not correct. Something is not correct. So he was feeling agitated. Prabhupada writes in the purport. He was actually feeling agitated. And he was feeling that why this feeling is there. So at that point, because he was a sincere personality and a great personality, of course, Vyas Bhagavan is not different from Krishna, but he's teaching us this point. So who comes? Narada Muni comes. And when Narada Muni comes to see him, immediately he senses that Vyas Bhagavan was agitated. Isn't it true, Prabhu and Mataji, that practically also in our daily dealings, we can sense if someone is agitated. He behaves in a certain way, you know. His eyes are moving, he's a bit restless, he's a bit confused, or he's not feeling happy, doesn't smile so much, a bit disturbed. You know that agitation feeling. So at that point of time when he feels that way, immediately Narada Muni could understand. And then he goes on to explain why he's feeling agitated. And the reason why he says you have felt agitated is because you have created scriptures upon scriptures upon scriptures which have only done one thing. And what is that? Instead of putting us in one-pointed attention at the lotus feet of the Lord, we have actually moved away and we have started becoming many-branched. Our minds are running all over the place. Like now there is some music going on down. And immediately everyone looks agitated. Because why? They are trying to concentrate. Concentration on Krishna is good, don't worry. Krishna will push the agitation out of the mind. But the point is that the moment the determination and the concentration on Krishna is wavered, agitation will come in. Isn't it true? We just experienced it a few minutes ago. We did. Immediately we felt it. So Bhagavatam is correct, Narada Muni is correct. And this agitation, Nadaji told Vyas Bhagavan, has come because you have made Krishna on the same platform as all the devatas. All the devatas are actually part and parcel of the Lord. They are servants of the Lord. But by glorifying them in all the other scriptures, you have made pantheism the order of the day. And so pantheism in 1514 is directly linked to pantheism in 2, 1, 20 and 21. This is a problem when we are not focused only on Krishna, when we turn to others for help for Krishna, when we think that Krishna is helping but his help is a bit slow, let's accelerate the process. Let's go and see a good astrologer, and through great calculations he will tell us what is the obstacles to my devotional service. Man, he himself doesn't know what obstacles is in his own devotional service, if at all he is doing devotional service. And he can tell us what obstacles there are in front of us. And then we go for this yantra and that and this and that, and we get all these things. But the point is, when this happens, anything that you desire to describe, which is separate in vision from the names, the forms of the Lord, will only serve to agitate. Why? Because it will simply react with these different names, different forms, in different combinations. And the moment there is this reaction, Prabhu said, Mataji, it will agitate the mind. Just like the wind agitates a boat which is not anchored to the pier. Tato anyata kinchana yatri vikshataha prita drishishta krita rupa namadhi na karhichit kvapi cha dushtita matihi labe tavata hata iva nahu iva spadam. This is the verse of 1.5.14. It is the most important verse for us to understand the benefit of the devotional service and what happens when we are not in devotional service. Narada Muni gives the warning not to Vyas Bhagwan, but to all the readers of Srimad Bhagavatam. And what does he say? The moment you describe anything which is separate from Krishna, supposing you and I are sitting down today in this congregation, in the presence of the Lord, and we are talking about work or office tomorrow, that talk which is separate from the Lord will react with everything else around us which is not with the Lord, and it will produce agitation. Because our boat of devotional service is not anchored firmly with Krishna, the modes of material nature will flow into our boat, and like the wind, they will push us here and there, here and there. And this is the danger of not being attracted to the transcendental feature of the Lord. This is the danger of pantheism, as Prabhupada so correctly points out. So that is why Prabhupada says that pantheism is condemned in one sense, because it will make us multifaceted. But we all know a jack of all trades is a master of none. Isn't it? Even in the material world we know that. You go here, you go there, you go everywhere. The aim is to pacify yourself. But in running everywhere, in this many branch tree, how can you be Eka Kuru Nandana? Then how to become pacified? So we should give up all other sources of engagement except for the devotional service. And if we do that, then Krishna makes it very clear to us that the only shelter that we take in the second verse in the purport, that shelter of Krishna, that direct remembrance of the Lord, will keep us safe from the material nature. If we do not do that, Prabhu said, Mataji, then definitely we are in trouble. We are in big trouble. So this point of agitation is a very simple thing, but it is very difficult to perform when it is on the material and practical platform. And how can we cement our relationship finally with Krishna? How do we cement this remembrance of the Lord? The Bhagavatam purport, and this particular purport, tells us that the only way one can move from impersonalism to pantheism, to come to the platform of devotional service, is if one assumes the attitude of service. This is the most important point. The foundation of our devotional service is service. We speak of devotional service, devotional service, devotional service, but the point of the platform is actually service. This attitude of service is the most important point. Most important. And this service, as we quoted the verse 6.1.15 last week or the week before, is told to us very nicely. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha. Parayanaha means One who performs devotional service in such a way that he is only dependent on the service. We are not dependent on the time, on the place, on who is coming, who is not coming, what day it is, what occasion it is, whether we are sick or we are tired or we have some other engagement. We are not dependent on all these to execute the service to the Lord. We are only dependent on the Lord and His pure devotees. No other circumstances are considered favorable or unfavorable except if we agitate ourselves by running after anything and everything and not constantly remembering Krishna. And Vasudeva Parayanaha goes one step further by saying, depending on the Lord, right? Attached to such service, that is Parayanaha, attached to such service without dependence on austerity, on knowledge, or any of these limbs of material qualities, which may appear very exciting when we start taking up devotional service. Supposing I have a good brain for remembering verses, then my devotional service is dependent on all the hundreds of shlokas I know. And then I start quoting them all the time, but there is no love or devotion to Krishna when I'm doing that. Then if there is no verses, I cannot understand what service is. If I don't understand the import and the purport of the verses, then what is the point of such attachment? So again, I may sing very nicely, but if I cannot translate the singing as offering to Krishna, then what happens? Then I become impersonalist. Just impersonally I will sing. Who cares if Krishna is in front of me or not? All that I know is I am singing today, my voice is very good, everyone should glorify me. That's all. That's all. After a while, if you sing this way, what happens to you? Prabhupada says, like all impersonalists, you become bored. You become bored. Because you think you're doing service, but service to Krishna only is service. Service to yourself is not service. So if you stand there and sing and do this raga and that raga and sound very nice, because it is not ductile towards the Lord, what happens? Eventually you stop singing. Eventually you stop coming for programs. Eventually you find some other engagement where you think you can excel in. You take it up, then you drop it, then you go to some place, then you drop it. Krishna consciousness is not about who is doing better service than other. That brings agitation. And Krishna will change his attitude of service. He will change his attitude depending on your service. You remember Krishna book? In Krishna book, the gopis were in the Ras Leela and they were dancing wonderfully with the Lord. They embraced and worshipped him in their hearts. And they were the greatest and the purest devotees of the Lord. But halfway through, because each of them was dancing with the Lord, each of the gopis began to think that, Krishna is dancing with me, and our service is so great, and therefore Krishna is with us. And the moment the gopis felt the tinge of the pride, as Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, what happened? Krishna disappeared from the dance. He reserved the right to exercise his opulence of renunciation. And he exercised it at that point of time. So he renounced the gopis and he left. And the moment he left, what happened to the gopis? They became completely agitated. Completely agitated. Their agitation is of course a very high level of agitation. Their agitation was one of separation. They looked everywhere and they saw Krishna. But Prabhupada writes at that point of time and he says very nicely that frankly speaking, Krishna does not like devotees to become proud of their service. So simple, Prabhupada writes. Krishna does not like devotees to become proud of their service. And he accepts everyone's service, Prabhupada writes. Right? And he does not like the devotee to proudly think that his service is higher than another devotee's service. Isn't it very clear to us here, this attitude of service and how it should be? We should not think that between us, my service is greater. I'm the one doing, I'm reading Bhagavatam, I'm more inclined to Bhagavatam. Prabhuji, you are not so inclined. I see you only like Kirtan. Kirtan is not higher than Bhagavatam, you know. Therefore, my service is higher than yours. Or someone else may think, Prabhu, you just sit down and talk. But who are the ones who are getting down on their hands and their knees? Who is cleaning the temple? Who has to do the menial service? Don't you know in Chaitanya Charitamrita, King Prataparudra finally captured the heart of the Lord when he swept the streets. Up till then, all his book knowledge meant nothing. So we are cleaning the temple. and you are sitting and reading Bhagavatam, definitely our service is higher than you. Of course, you won't say this to the person. When the person comes, you say, Prabhu, very nice service. But in your heart, you take shelter in the fact, you know, that even though his service is nice, deep inside, I know my service is little bit better than his. And for that reason, I come for the programs. For that reason, I'll be part of the congregation. Because what value will I have if my service is not better than yours? No value, isn't it? I'm just another ordinary citizen Kane. I'm just another person who's amongst the rank and file of the devotees. No, I must be special. So when Krishna sees that attitude in us, he renounces. And once the Lord renounces, Prabhupada writes here, Krishna does not like the devotee to proudly consider himself better than others. If such feelings are there, Krishna ends them. How? By changing his attitude to the devotee. So it's not that we have to change the attitude. The Lord himself changes his attitude to us when our attitude is bad. And once he changes his attitude to us, then like the gopis, gopis are very high, eh? They have Krishna in their heart. You and I are in trouble if we are in that situation. Don't forget, Krishna eventually came back. But don't test Krishna and say, oh, Krishna will come back because now I'm in the separation mood from Krishna. That is very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. So this attitude of service is so important. If you don't have the right attitude, then we are in trouble. So finally, in conclusion to this wonderful verse, the two verses, the thing we must remember is this. Tamas, Rajas, Sattva, they will always be impediments in our devotional service. But we must remember that even while performing devotional service, if we are not careful to remember Krishna, and not careful to serve Him and Him only, and not careful to be humble in our service, the service can become impersonal in nature. And sometimes we may not be impersonal in nature, but we may walk around exhibiting this idea of a panties and say, Prabhu, why are you feeling this way? Krishna is everywhere. We may speak nicely, but if we cannot perceive Krishna to be everywhere, then we should not make a show of it either. That also is hypocritical to the Lord. So the important thing then, finally, is how do we approach this attitude of service to remember Krishna constantly. The medium is Prabhupada writes in his purport, the pure devotee. The pure devotee, Prabhupada writes, is so expert that he can turn anything in this world into service to Krishna. Isn't it? Yukta Vairagya is coming from the expert acharyas. We don't have to worry about how to remember Krishna because everything we do, the acharyas say, if we do it sincerely, can be used for Krishna's service. Every material object today now is being used for Krishna. We may not have sincerity in using it, but who told us to use these things for Krishna? It is the pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada. So by following Prabhupada's instruction and accepting his instruction in our hearts, we are also becoming spiritualized without us even knowing it. We don't have to know it. We just have to submit. If we submit and we sincerely tell Krishna and pray to Prabhupada and our Guru that we don't know what impersonalism, what pantheism, what devotional service is, but we do know that if we satisfy Prabhupada, we do know that we take pleasure in satisfying Guru. We do know, at least theoretically, that even if we don't derive pleasure, we know that out of love, that this person has actually saved me from complete bewilderment, from agitation like that boat in the wind. Just out of that duty, if we pick up these instructions and follow them, then the devotee will expertly mold us to become devotees. You remember Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? There was a great scholar and professor, and he had read so much and wanted to discuss philosophy with the devotees. So he came one day to Saraswati Mata at that time, Gaudiya Mata, and he came and he saw Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And Maharaj welcomed him with open arms and told him to come into the temple. He said that I want to discuss some philosophy with you. And Maharaj said, before you discuss, you do one thing. You go into the kitchen and there are some devotees there, my disciples are there. You just help them do some service first. After that, we will discuss philosophy. So he said, alright, and what am I going to do washing pots and pans? I'm here thinking about the nature of Krishna, the transcendental nature of Krishna. What has that got to do with menial service? I don't know. But never mind, I'll go. So he did, and he started washing the pots and pans, and he, as he was doing it, he saw the blissful faces of the devotees, and he began talking to them. He came out after a while, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, "I'm still not ready to discuss with you. Go in again and do something. Come and see me later in the day." So for the whole day, the devotee was engaged in menial service to the Lord. After he had done the menial service and interacted with all the disciples and other devotees, he came out in the evening, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, "Now we can sit down and discuss philosophy. Is there something you wanted to ask?" And this professor said, "All that I wanted to ask has been adequately explained by just performing service. I don't know how my heart became pacified. I was agitated when I had all these questions. But by performing service, there was so much bliss in the company and direction and guidance of the devotees that I became completely pacified. And now I don't really find the need to discuss, because the motive for the discussion was just philosophical in nature. It was not to understand or appreciate serving Krishna." So see, this is the import of the verse today, that by the platform of service, which is nicely molded and directed by the pure devotee and the spiritual master, one can come out of the modes of material nature. In 7.15.24, this point is confirmed. Rajas samascha sattvena, isn't it? One normally has to come out of the platform of bewilderment in the modes of ignorance to come to the passion in the modes of passion. Then after that, sattvam cho pasamena cha. Then only one can come up to the point of goodness. But etat sarvam gurau bhaktyo humso hi anjasa jayat. One can conquer the material modes of nature automatically. How? Etat sarvam gurau bhaktya. Just by serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master in nice submission and loving attitude. So isn't this the most wonderful way to take up personal service of the Lord? Isn't this the easiest way to become less impersonal in our dealings? So this is the way we must do it. Prabhupada also says, in the concluding point of pantheism, he says actually that whenever we are performing service, wherever we are performing activity, that activity to the Lord is sacrifice. It is actually sacrifice. And there are always five elements to every sacrifice, Prabhu and Mataji. Five elements if you think about it. The first, it is the process of offering. That is the start of our sacrifice. Think about this. The second is the offering itself. The third is the fire in which you offer. The fourth is the sacrifice. Once you offer everything, then you begin the mantras and the sacrifice process starts. And the fifth will be the results that come out of the sacrifice. You've seen Sudarshan Prabhu dozens of times. You've seen all the ceremonies, you know, that we have seen through. Five things always happen in a sacrifice, isn't it? Prabhupada also explains to us, in the pages of Bhagavatam also explains to us, that these five principles of sacrifice are the hallmark and foundation for service to the Lord, devotional service to the Lord. And actually this point is very nicely stated to us in the pages of Bhagavad Gita. If you read 4.24 of Bhagavad Gita, very nicely there, without mincing any words, Krishna says, Brahmapanam, Brahma Havir. Brahmagnav, Brahmanahutam. Brahmeva, Tena Gantavyam. Brahma, Karma, Samadhina. This is a very important verse to understand the attitude of service. Why? Because Prabhupada translates the verse, a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that means constant remembrance of the Lord, what happens to him? He is absorbed in such a manner that he is sure to obtain Krishna consciousness. How does he obtain Krishna consciousness? By obtaining the kingdom of God. And how does he obtain this kingdom of God? He obtains it because of his full contribution to spiritual activity. That simply means whatever service we take up, give our all into it. Full contribution, Prabhu, Mataji. Do it to the best that you can. That's all. Just do the best. Don't do half-hearted service. Oh, I have to do, otherwise Prabhu is going to shout at me. Or, you know, or Mataji will not be favorable to me. If I don't do service nicely, people don't think well of me. These cannot contribute to full contribution. And if you do full contribution of service, then the consummation of that contribution, the result of that contribution is absolute. And that which is offered, that you offer from your heart, becomes spiritual in nature. It's a very, very important point for us to remember in devotional service. So, how to translate these five items of sacrifice in our daily lives? In daily life, we can think very simply by the example of Bali Maharaj. Our acharyas tell us, look to Bali Maharaj to understand the five principles of sacrifice. The first is the process of offering. Remember, when Bali was approached by Vamandev, what did he say? How did he offer and what did he offer? The procedure was very nice. He immediately, very wholeheartedly and big-heartedly received Vamandev, made him sit down, lovingly washed his feet with his wife Vindhyavali, and after taking good care of Vamandev, what happened? He then properly made him sit down and then he asked the question, what do you want? So the process of offering must come in our heart, that when we take up a service, we must take it up with full love. We must not take it for granted, it's a service, just do it, finish. Next service, do it, finish. We must have the consciousness which is very helpful to improve our loving attitude to Krishna. That's how Bali Maharaj made that first step of inviting the Lord before he began the offering, which is the second step. What was his offering? His offering was also very big-hearted. Vamandev, whatever you want, I am ready to give you. See how wide-hearted he was. When we come to serving Krishna also, whatever we want to make as offering should not be offering with conditions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7A, 7B. No. It should not be, Krishna, I am doing all this, subject to these things happening. If I don't have, sometimes, I remember my Guru Maharaj, when we started Rajkot Temple, he asked the Matajis from the congregation to come forward to do nice service of cooking. One Mataji came up to him and said, Maharaj, my cooking pot is only this small. Maharaj said, it's not your cooking pot that's this small. It's your heart that is this small. You mean you don't have enough money to buy a bigger cooking pot for Krishna? You mean you don't have a rice cooker which is big enough to cook for the devotees? So whatever you have is a reflection of your heart. And after that, Mataji went to buy a very big pot. Now I think the pot is getting bigger and bigger. This is conditions we give. We say, I can't do on Saturday, I can do on Sunday. I can't do on Sunday, I can't do on Saturday. This attitude of service will definitely bring agitation to your mind. Definitely. You just close your eyes and you live your life and there is agitation. Because Bhagavatam is 10% correct. Bali Maharaj obtained full devotional service because at the start, his offering was open-hearted. Brahmana, whatever you want, whatever that was conceivable in his mind, you want to take a wife from another Brahmana also, I'll give it to you. He was ready to give everything. So that set the scene for the next stage, which was the fire. The fire burns. That's the propensity of the fire. The moment we are ready to open our hearts and give to Krishna, the fire of devotional service will purify our hearts. And that was the stage where Bali Maharaj, unknown to him at that point of time, was already becoming purified to receive the mercy and the benediction of the Lord. So after the fire is there, then what happens? Don't forget, in Bali Maharaj's case, he was also burned by another fire. The fire of the curse of his spiritual master Sukracharya. Sukracharya got angry, fiery, because he refused to listen. Why? Because after he gave his offering, Vamandev counter-offered. And what was his counter-proposal? He said, I only want 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj said, 3 steps? No, you must ask more. And Sukracharya said, no, if you give him more, he's going to finish you. And Bali Maharaj said, no, I'm not going to listen to you. If you say no to me, then I'm going to burn you with my curse. And he cursed him that you will lose everything. And Bali Maharaj didn't care. That is fire. Fire of determination. So the moment that fire of determination came, the next point, the actual sacrifice took place. And what did the sacrifice accrue? The sacrifice came about And when the final sacrifice came, it was very great sacrifice. One step, the Lord covered the whole world. Second step, the rest of the world. Third step, Lord got very angry. Nowhere else to step on. So Garuda immediately tied up Bali Maharaj, put him in the center. The Lord came, spoke very nastily actually. He was very, very angry and harsh. And he said, "What man? You are such a great person who said that you will keep your word and your promise, and what at the end happened? Nothing. Has covered everything with two steps. You said three steps of your leg, nothing. And now two steps I covered and you don't have any other place to put my feet on. So what are you going to do about it?" And Bali Maharaj said, "You put your step on me." That was his sacrifice. That this is my surrender to you. If at all everything has to go, it is yours. Myself, whatever I am worth, it is also yours. That was his sacrifice. And the moment he made sure that his sacrifice was there, what was the result of such a sacrifice? The result of such a sacrifice, immediately there was intervention by a pure devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj. And the moment the Prahlad Maharaj came, who can pacify? If Lord Narsingadev got pacified by Prahlad Maharaj, you think second time round he won't be able to pacify the Lord? Naturally, he's a pro, he's expert at it, because he's a pure devotee. So because he was pure devotee, he spoke wonderful words. And at the end of it, the Lord became so happy and pleased by the sacrifice, which started from the process of offering, which started from with the offering and went on to the fire, finally to sacrifice. That the Lord said that you will go. Which planet did he go to? Is it Sutala? Sorry, Sutala, right? He went to Sutala planet. But the Lord didn't degrade him there. He didn't demote him there. He said, "You stay there. But you know what? I will be your doorkeeper. And I will hold a club in my hand. And I will stand there guarding you. Nobody will touch you. And I will be there. Daily you can take my darshan. If Lord is doorkeeper, what to say? Daily you can take darshan of me. And because you are so great, whatever you have done, you will become the most famous personality in the world." And you know why the Lord became so pleased? There is only one verse in that entire range, the Acharyas tell us, that actually captured the Lord's heart. And that verse we should daily pray, because it's applicable to us. It is in 8.22.5 of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is nicely stated as, Bali Maharaj says, "Tvam." He says, "Tvam," referring to the Lord. "Nunam" means, in this case he is referring himself to the demons. "Tvam nunam asuranam naha." He says, "We demons cannot remember you normally." Then he goes on to say, "Parokshaha parama guruhu yono aneka mandhanam." And at the end he says very nicely, "Vibratam chakshu adishat." The translation is very nice. And Bali Maharaj prays that since your lordship is indirectly the greatest well-wisher of us demons, even though we are all demons, Krishna is still indirectly our well-wisher. How? He does this. "You act only for our best interest and best welfare by behaving as our enemy. You appear to us as enemy. Whenever we have to do Krishna consciousness, so much sacrifice is there. At that point in time, we think, ah, yeah. Look at him, he can watch TV, I can't. Look at him, he can go around and do whatever he wants, I cannot. He's eating choice foods and all, and I have to restrict myself. Can't eat this, can't eat that, can't take coffee, can't take tea." So many things are there. So our demonic nature, unintentionally, subtly thinks, Krishna is our enemy. We don't say it as such, because we know we are in trouble. But in our hearts we think, see, Krishna is opposing us. Then he says, the demons always, like us, we are always aspiring for a position of false prestige. Very difficult to offer false prestige, to give up false prestige. But finally he says, by chastising us, you give us shelter and you give us the eyes by which we can actually see the right path. And the right path is attitude of service. So, we must remember that service will mean five things. And when we do these five things, then we will be able to not be agitated. You will find automatically by doing nice service, the material modes of nature go. You will find by following the great words of the spiritual master, you will be safe. And by following Prabhupada, you cannot go wrong. You cannot go wrong. But if you agitate your mind by describing something which is separate, remember Amog Leela? Amoghlila was the son of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, isn't it? In Chaitanya Leela. Instead of describing the glories of Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu came to have prasadam in his house, what did he do? He said, why is Sannyasi eating so much? This, you ask for it when you speak this way. Immediately 1514 will apply. And immediately he became agitated. He had to run away because father-in-law was coming with a stick to beat him. And second time he said again. And at the end of the day, the reaction of not describing Krishna was so great that he was dying of cholera and had to be in a small hut far away in the village. But by the agency of a pure devotee like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the Lord took pity on Amoghlila and he went to see him in the dead of the night. Nobody wanted to go there because cholera was highly infectious. The Lord entered the room and it was very dark and Amog was lying down. When he heard someone entering, he said, don't come in, I'm infectious and I'm going to die. The Lord came, he touched Amog's heart, knelt down and touched Amog's heart and he said, Amog, the Lord's place is supposed to be in your heart. If your heart is so dirty with all these elements, then how are you going to allow him to rest in there? And doing that, he touched. Personal, huh? Not impersonal. Lord didn't send email to Amog and say, how are you doing? Are you alright? You know, get up. He didn't do that. You can't. Right? He didn't SMS either. He didn't do anything like that. The Lord went personally, touched him on his heart and told him, Amog, why are you doing like this? Don't do this. If you are feeling agitated and a devotee comes and lovingly holds you and says, Prabhu, what happened to you? Don't feel like that. How do you feel? Immediately you feel pacified. Someone is caring for me. This is our movement. To care for each other. To serve each other. And because of that, Amog stood up and danced in ecstasy. Because he was touched by the Lord. Why? Because the personal feature of the Lord was manifested because of the agency of the pure devotee. The Lord said, I didn't come because of you on your account. The Lord said, I came because anyone who is related to my dear devotee Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is immediately dear to me. I cannot see him suffer. See the mood of the pure devotee. So please remember, impersonalism is useful to an extent. Pantheism is also good to an extent. But in order for us to really, really constantly remember Vishnu, to become related to Vishnu, if you want to become sambandha, if you want to become relative of the Lord, you know, if you want to say, Lord, do you know I'm your relative? Then if you want to be related to him, be related to his devotee. Be related to his pure devotee. And serve very nicely. Krishna will definitely make us remember him, without doubt. Jai Vantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Are there any questions, comments that Prabhu and Mataji would like to bring up? Yes, Prabhuji. We'll have one question and then after we should go on to the Damodara Shripa.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Just one question. We say that sometimes devotees or people outside, they say that Krishna is everywhere. Like Lord Maharaj was saying that he's in the pillar. So personally I've come in contact with people saying, you know, Krishna is everywhere in the tree. So when we read, we also know, we cannot reject that Krishna is not present everywhere. He is all pervading. So as a devotee also reading that, we should not always say that Krishna is everywhere and neglect the deity. You know, Krishna has a personal form. But how would we reconcile these two aspects, that Krishna is personal and Krishna is also all pervading? Especially when we relate with people outside who have this conception that Krishna is all pervading. So we cannot say that they are wrong. So as devotees, how would we relate to that, to the fact?
You're right, Prabhuji, they're not wrong. And it is wrong for us to think that Krishna is not everywhere. The devotee who thinks Krishna is only in the deity, then he's in trouble. His devotional service, Kapila they say, is in the mode of passion. He's in the mode of passion. He's considered neophyte. Because then he only thinks that he must behave himself in front of deity. The moment deity moves, he can scold anyone he likes, do anything he likes, because Krishna is only in the deity. That is dangerous. But when we say that Krishna is everywhere, we may not be able to personally realize that. But it is easier to understand that if we try and see the hand of Krishna in everything. If we try and see the hand of Krishna in everything, then two things happen. One, Krishna has a hand, so we know he's personal. And two, by seeing the hand of Krishna in everything, we start seeing that all things, whether good or bad, are coming finally from Krishna. That means Krishna is all pervasive. If we only think that Krishna will only give good according to what we think is good, then we cannot see Krishna everywhere. A devotee, Satte Nukampam Sushani Chamano Bunjanae Vadma Sitam Vipasam Ritva Vapuzi Vidadan Namaste Jive Tayo Mukti Padate Dayabha. This verse is telling us that we have to see Krishna everywhere. But how? We have to see Krishna everywhere by engaging our words, our speech, our deeds, everything in Krishna's service. By doing that, then there is no activity of ours where Krishna is not present. That means Krishna is everywhere. It doesn't become a high-flown concept in the air. It actually comes down to practical service. Service. It's not that Sivachandran Prabhu is going to sit down and play mridanga here, and then when he goes to the army, he's not going to be devotee. He will remember Krishna there. In fact, he'll remember Krishna more desperately. That's the best time to remember Krishna. There's no more intense remembrance at the lotus feet of Vishnu than national service. I think those who have gone through that will know that how hard we pray to Krishna, either for it to end or it's very pleasing for it to continue, depending on how you want to see it. But the point is, Prabhu, practically, by seeing the hand of Krishna in everything, we can somehow or another grow to see Krishna everywhere. It may not happen overnight, but it comes in the association of devotees. It comes by the association of the pure devotees. Is that okay, Prabhu? Prabhu, yes, Prabhuji. That's a really nice point. That particular verse, Satte Nukampam, is specifically referred to Brahmaji. Brahmaji did not feel agitated because he saw the hand of Krishna in the apparent difficulty that was posed to him. If he did not do that, Brahmaji today would be impersonalist. This is a very nice point. Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice point. The other thing you can remember, just 1 minute, Prabhuji. The other thing you can remember also is the worship of Govardhan. Govardhan. Remember that the devotees in Rajabhumi wanted to worship Lord Indra, and eventually they worshipped Krishna. So Indra got agitated and he decided he had to punish them. But the result of their one-pointed attention to Krishna was that they became pacified because Krishna gave them shelter under Govardhan Hill. So remembrance of Krishna physically, literally under his shelter really took them out of the clutches of the difficult, multifaceted attractions of the different devatas. Prabhu?
You elaborated so nicely today about the service. I just want to ask one question regarding what is the difference between the prayer and the service?
Very nice point. What is the difference between prayer and service? There is no difference according to Prabhupada and all our acharyas. When one offers prayers very lovingly to Krishna, that is service to the Lord. The Lord takes up whatever we offer to Him, it is done lovingly to Him. Some of us are very good with prayers, and we feel a close connection to Krishna as we are praying to Krishna. Krishna encourages that. Just by performing any of the 9 limbs of devotional service, which includes prayers, Archanam, Vandanam, any of these, and ultimately coming to Atma Nivedanam, any of these will bring one to the platform of devotional, pure devotional service. Prabhupada translates that verse as pure devotional service. So if someone is very expert at cooking for Krishna, take it up and very nicely cook for Krishna. If someone does nice deity worship for Krishna, take it up and do nice deity worship for Krishna. If you want to be like Agura, who remembers nice shlokas and offer it to Krishna, Krishna is extra pleased. But in all this service, please don't think, my service is better than yours. My service is better and superior than yours. We will always meet devotees who will clean places. We need devotees to also perform menial service as well as pray. Frankly, for a devotee, ISKCON is perfect. Because in ISKCON, all items and limbs of devotional service is given equal emphasis. You find that as a devotee, in one day, you can do prayers to Krishna, you can serve prasadam to the devotees, you can cook for Krishna, you can go out there and preach about Krishna, you can do deity worship at home before you leave and see Krishna, you can study about Krishna, you can hear about Krishna, and in all this, you remember Krishna. So it is a holistic attitude. It's a very common word today. But it actually means that we are really devotees. So any form of service, Prabhu, prayers included, will definitely be accepted by Krishna. As long as it's sincere, Krishna will guide us. Thank you, Prabhu. So now we will stop. Let us chant the Damodar Ashtaka very lovingly to Krishna, so that somehow or another we pray that Krishna will always keep us with his pure devotees, and that we should not forget Krishna. That for us is suicide. If we remember Krishna, we are always safe. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Dandara Shriman Bhagavatam ki, Ritai Gaura Prema Nandaya. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. One row for Mataji's, one row for Prabhu's will be good. Can I have a copy of the song? Let us now read. Very important to read so that we can again capture the mood of why we are singing this wonderful song. Let us read together. To the Supreme Lord, whose form is the embodiment of eternal existence, knowledge and bliss, whose shark-shaped earrings are swinging to and fro, who is beautifully shining in the divine realm of Gokul, who due to the offense of breaking the pot of yogurt that his mother was churning into butter, and then stealing the butter that was kept hanging from a swing, is quickly running from the wooden grinding mortar in fear of Mother Yashoda, but who has been caught from behind by her who ran after him with greater speed. To that Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. Seeing the whipping stick in his mother's hand, he is crying and rubbing his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes are filled with fear, and the necklace of pearls around his neck, which is marked with three lines like a conch shell, is shaking because of his quick breathing due to crying. To this Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, whose belly is bound not with ropes but with his mother's pure love, I offer my humble obeisances. By such childhood pastimes as this, he is drowning the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy, and is revealing to those devotees who are absorbed in knowledge of his supreme majesty and opulence that he is only conquered by devotees whose pure love is imbued with intimacy and is free from all conceptions of awe and reverence. With great love, I again offer my obeisances to Lord Damodar hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for the boon of impersonal liberation, nor the highest liberation of eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon which may be obtained by executing the nine processes of bhakti. O Lord, I simply wish that this form of yours as Bala Gopal in Vrindavan may ever be manifest in my heart. For what is the use to me of any other boon besides this? O Lord, your lotus face, which is encircled by locks of soft black hair tinged with red, is kissed again and again by Mother Yashoda, and your lips are reddish like the bimba fruit. May this beautiful vision of your lotus face be ever manifest in my heart. Thousands and thousands of other benedictions are of no use to me. O Supreme Godhead, I offer my obeisances unto you, O Damodara, O Ananta, O Vishnu, O Master, O my Lord, be pleased upon me. By showering your glance of mercy upon me, deliver this poor ignorant fool who is immersed in an ocean of worldly sorrows and become visible to my eyes. O Lord Damodara, just as the two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakubara, were delivered from the curse of Narada and made into great devotees by you in your form as a baby tied with rope to a wooden grinding mortar, in the same way, please give to me your own prema bhakti. I only long for this and have no desire for any kind of liberation. O Lord Damodara, I first of all offer my obeisances to the brilliant effulging rope which binds your belly. I then offer my obeisances to your belly, which is the abode of the entire universe. I humbly bow down to your most beloved Srimati Radharani, and I offer all obeisances to you, the Supreme Lord, who displays unlimited pastimes. Jai Shri Shri Damodara Shtakaki. This month of Kartik is so nice. A lot of devotees, sannyasis, they tell us that this month is like a big sale, you know. When you go on sale, all the items are cheap, sometimes free. So bhakti during this month is very easily taken up.
Namo Swaram Sachirananda Rupam Lasakundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashoda Diolu Kalatavamanam Paramrishtam Madhyantato Dutya Gopya
Yashoda Diyolu Paramrishtam Madhyantato Dutya Gopya
Namamishwaram Sachirananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashoda Diyolu Kalatavamanam Param Rishnam Adhyanta To Dutya Gopya Rudantam Muhu Netra Yugmam Rijantam Tarambhoja Yugmena Satanka Netram Muhu Swasakam Patri Rekhaka Kanta Sita Graivam Damodaram Bhakti Bhadam
Jai Damodar
Muhu Swasakam Patri Rekhaka Kanta Sita Graivam Damodaram Bhakti Bhadam Iti Drikswalila Birananda Kunde Swagosham Nimajantam Makyapayantam
ಭಕ್ತೈ ಜಿತಾಧನ್ ಪುನಃ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಹತಾಸ್ತಂಸಾವೃತಿ ವಂದೇ ಸುಭಕ್ತೈಜಿತಾಧಂ ಪುನಃ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಹತಸ್ತಂ ಸಹತಾವೃತಿ ವಂದೇ
ಜಾಯ ನಮೋದರ
ವರಂ ದೇವಃ ಮೋಕ್ಷಂ ನಾಮೋಕ್ಷಂ ವಧಿಂ ವಾ ನ ಚಾನ್ಯಂ ಗೃಹೇಹಂ ವಾರಿಷಾದ್ವತೀಹ ಇದಂ ತೇವ ಪೂರ್ಣಾತ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಬಾಲಂ ಸದಾ ಮೇ ಮನಸ್ಯಾ ವೀರಸಂ ಕಿ ಮನ್ಯೇ
ಜಯ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಬಾಲ
ಇದಂ ತೇವ ಪೂರ್ಣಾತ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಬಾಲಂ ಸದಾ ಮೇ ಮನಸ್ಯಾ ವೀರಸಂ ಕಿ ಮನ್ಯೇ
ಜಯ ಲಕ್ಷ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಕಿ
ಇದಂತೆ ಮುಖಾಂಬೋಜಂ ಮದ್ಯಂತ ನೀಲೈ ವೃತ್ತಂ ಕುಂಟಾಲೈ ಸ್ನಿಗ್ಧ ರಕ್ತೈಶ್ಚ ಗೋಪ್ಯ ಮುಹುಶ್ಚುಂಬಿತಂ ಬಿಂಬಾರಕ್ತಾಧರಂ ಮೇ ಮನಸ್ಯಾ ವಿರಾಸಂ ಮಾಲಂ ಲಕ್ಷ ಲಾಭೇ ಮುಹುಶ್ಚುಂಬಿತಂ ಬಿಂಬಾರಕ್ತಾಧರಂ ಮೇ ಮನಸ್ಯಾ ವಿರಾಸಂ ಮಾಲಂ ಲಕ್ಷ ಲಾಭೇ ನಮೋ ದೇವ ದಾಮೋದರ ಅನಂತ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪ್ರಸೀದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ದುಃಖ ಜಲಾಬ್ಧಿ ಮಗ್ನಂ ಕೃಪಾ ದೃಷ್ಟಿ ವೃಷ್ಯಾತಿ ದಿನಂಬತಾನು ಗ್ರಹಾನಿ ಶಃ ಮಾಮಾಗ್ನ್ಯಂ ಮೇದಾಕ್ಷಿ ದೃಶಯ ಕೃಪಾ ದೃಷ್ಟಿ ವೃಷ್ಯಾತಿ ದಿನಂ ಬತಾನು ಗ್ರಹಾನಿ ಶಃ ಮಾಮಾಗ್ನ್ಯಂ ಮೇದಾಕ್ಷಿ ದೃಶಯ ಕುಬೇರಾತ್ಮಜೌ ಬದ್ಧ ಮುಚೈ ವಯದ ತ್ವಯೈ ಮೋಚಿತೌ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಧಜ ಪ್ರೀತೌ ಚ ಸತ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಭಕ್ತಿನ್ ಸ್ವಕಮ್ಯತ್ರಯ ಚ ನ ಮೋಕ್ಷೆ ಗ್ರಹೋ ಮೇತಿ ದಮೋದರೇಹ ಸತಾ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವತಮ್ಮ ಪ್ರಿಯ ಚ ನ namo shigraho me sidamo dareha. Namaste Sudhamme Pura Diptidhamme Swadiyo Darayata Vishwasya Dhamme Namaste Sudhamme Pura Diptidhamme Swadiyodarayat Vishwasya Dhamme Namo Radhikayai Swadiyai Priyayai Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Tubhyam
Jai Srimati Radharani
Annamo Radhikaya Dvadiya Priyaya Namo Nanta Leelaya Devaya Tubhyam Namo Nanta Leelaya Devaya Tubhyam
Namo Radhikaya Swadiya Priyaya
Namo Nanta Leelaya Devaya Tubhyam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bolo Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bolo!
Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna,
जय श्री श्री दामोदर अष्टकम की, जय श्री श्री यशोदा दामोदर जी की, जय श्री श्री वृंदावन भूमि धाम की, जय श्री श्री कार्तिक मास की, जय श्री श्री रुक्मी द्वारकाधीश की, जय श्री प्रभुपाद की, जय श्री गुरुदेव की, जय श्री हरि नाम संगीत संयज्ञ की, साय गौर प्रेमानंदे। So we thank all devotees for having joined us this morning. There are many more nights.